Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
We're going to start reading verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" And he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used it to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Our Heavenly Father, I do pray, Lord, that you deliver this message in the way that you gave it to me. Lord, I pray that we understand who we are in you and that we submit ourselves more into you because we have been here today, that we might have a better life. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a verse in here that I've heard pulled out of context way too many times. One is, even Jesus says, the poor you always have with you, so we don't have to take care of them. That is a contradiction of what the Bible teaches. Did Jesus say, the poor you always have with you? Yes, and we have. He's proven that for 2,000 years. But he is not saying that you don't take care of them. Matter of fact, over and over again, he says, take care of the widows, take care of the children, take care of the poor, take care. He tells us, too much is given, much is required. He lays it out, and he tells us to take care of one another. He told the disciples to go and sell what they had. He told Mark to sell everything that he had and give it to the poor. So don't allow anyone to take this out of context. But what he is saying, that there is one place where you give in spite of everything else that you see, and that is to Jesus. That sets our priority of what life is about. You give to eternity. Even if you've got to give up going out for dinner so that you can pay that missionary, so they can go out with the gospel. That's what you do. You can always go out to dinner. That's what he's saying. Well, we have a family night and we go to the movie. And if we do that, then we cannot help with Bible school. You don't go out to the movie. You can always go to the movie. There's one shot that you have at those kids a year that are between 7, 8, and 9 years old. Just one shot that you can reach them, because that's where they're most vulnerable, where they're going to turn, whether they're going to see it or not see it. But that's not what the sermon's on today. I just don't want you pulling that verse and misapplying it, because so many have today. The verse is about, here Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. That's an amazing thing. Matter of fact, many Jews believed, the Bible says, because of that. But he gets invited to Lazarus' house for dinner. Or Simon's house, for dinner. And Lazarus is there, the Bible says. And the disciples are there. And Martha is there cooking and getting things together. And Mary is there. And Mary has this very special oil that she could only use for one thing probably in her entire life. Because once it's gone, you can never get it back. Now they used oil for many different things back then. They used oil when someone was sick. They used oil when someone died to anoint their bodies. And this oil would have most probably, according to Scripture, been used when Jesus died to go in and put on his body. She comes in and she kneels down at his feet and she washes his feet with the oil. You know, we believe in foot washing and we do that around here, and we believe that it is something that ties us together, that everyone knows, that no one sees anyone better than themselves. Jesus taught his disciples to wash one another's feet because in church we are a serving group. We are not a bossy group. We are not a managing group. We are not a CEO group. We are servant leaders. But when she bent down to wash his feet, and that's what she did, but she washed it with this very expensive oil. And then the Bible says she wiped it with her hair. Why did she do that? Maybe she didn't have an apron. Maybe it was oil you could put in your hair. Maybe she wanted to have the same aroma when she walked through the town that Jesus had. And they said, she not only looks like she's carrying him, she even smells like she's carrying him. The Bible doesn't tell us this. We can just speculate. But here's what the Bible does say. Judas Iscariot said, why are you letting her put that oil on your feet? We could have sold that and give it to the poor. Have you ever had anything like that happen? Michael, you've been in church your whole life. I've been in church my whole life. And we can be right in a great spiritual moment where people are testifying and things are going great, and the Spirit of God's got a hold of something, and somebody stands up and says, I think this is a good time to say this. Let me tell you something. If you're going to, after the worship ends, the trouble begins. And Judas didn't want to give anything to the poor. He was robbing the bank. I've lived a long time, and I've been able to observe families. Been able to observe families when someone gets old or someone gets sick. And I know there's two kinds of people. There's a kind of people that give, and there's a kind of people that criticize. And the people that criticize usually criticize so they don't have to give. Well, if you're going to take care of mom like that and you're going to put her in the nursing home, don't look for me to give you any money. I question those motives. I always question motives when the Spirit of God moves something and it becomes a tangible, earthly, worldly thing. But that's not what the sermon's on either. The sermon is about this. This same Judas that was there for the worship service, it doesn't say he was cooking. It doesn't say that he was tending to what was going on. It doesn't say he was doing any work. He was just carrying the money, and he looked at the money. Then he thought, there would be more for me. Because I believe the Bible, and that's what the Bible says he was thinking. If she wouldn't do that. We call those type of statements and people wet blankets. You know, when everything, don't rain on my parade. When everything's going good, someone wants to throw something bad in or stand up and cause something bad. But this same Judas, Jesus had with him, and Judas had many times that he could leave. Matter of fact, remember when Jesus said, if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And many turned and walked with him no more. And the disciples even stepped back, and Jesus said, what are you doing? They said, that's a hard saying. And Jesus said, have I not chosen you? Remember that part? Judas didn't leave. He wasn't a believer. He didn't see Jesus as God. He wasn't converted. He was selfish. He was robbing. He was stealing. He was looking at what he could get out of it for himself. The churches have too many of those kind of people in it throughout this country, and that's why we're not effective. I've been here almost 30 years, and I've had to deal with it. If I preach on tithing, and I say you ought to give 10% because that's what the Bible says, and where's your faith? You say, I can't afford that, I can't do that. Oh, preacher, you don't know what I make. It doesn't matter. What the Bible says, 10%. You know what the people, what Judas would have said when I said that? He said, church wastes money. They heat that gym all week long and they heat it at night. So I'm not going to give money to the church as long as they're doing that. We criticize because we rob. Because we betray. The simple, you want to check your faith, check your checkbook. We have a treasure. There is, how old's your car? 1998, you just put a motor in it.
I did,
2002, you put a motor in it. Has a condominium. Paid for, right? Car's paid for. How often do you go out and eat a week? Once or twice. You just retired. I'm sorry, Greg, I got to do this. I don't know anybody any tighter in this church than Greg. I don't. Watches every penny. That's why he's our treasurer. Watches every penny. And you tithe. So if I was single and I drove a 10-year-old car and I lived in a condo and I didn't go out and eat, I could too. Yes. You could. But this isn't about tithing. This message is about a man that all through his walk with Jesus Christ, Jesus knew who he was. Jesus saw that he wasn't committed. Jesus saw every time when he would get upset. He knew what was going on in his mind before he said it. Jesus tolerated him and tolerated him. And when Jesus sat down for his last supper, he said, one of you is going to betray me. The disciples didn't even guess it was Judas. Peter said, John, ask him who it is. John said, is it I? They went around the table and they said, is it I? They know they were capable. And everyone sitting here this morning will share in a little bit of discomfort, including me. Because when it comes to talking about others from time to time, I find myself guilty too. But I'm talking about going a step beyond that. Judas kissed Jesus and betrayed him. The high priest didn't come looking for Judas and say, hey, Judas, come here, I've got a deal for you. Judas went looking for the high priest. Judas went in with a mindset that he was upset. Jesus had put him down. He was upset. He was going to betray him. And he didn't care because it was hurting him. He put himself above the ministry. He put himself above his friends. He put himself above the disciples. He put himself above everything in order to please himself with 30 pieces of silver. I wonder how they negotiated that. Wonder if Judas even asked for 100 pieces. Or he says, listen, I walk with these guys. I know where they're going to hang out. I know where they're going to be. I'll have opportunity, and I can show you who Jesus is. How much are you going to give me if I do that? He had to deal with them. Have you ever been betrayed? Betrayal doesn't happen by an enemy, and it doesn't happen by a stranger. It happens by somebody that sits by you, that you have taken into confidence and you poured your heart out to. Those are the people who betray you. And if you have been betrayed, and I have from time to time throughout ministry, and Andy, I know that you have, and anybody, Pastor Kay, you have, anybody that's been in ministry, they understand what that is, but anybody that's been in life understands what it is too. It hurts. And we go home and we decide, I will never, ever trust anyone again. And as we pray and we say, Lord, how in the world, why did I trust them? Jesus might just say to you, because you're following my example. I knew Judas was going to betray me, but I loved him anyway. So turn your cheek and go on. And if they come back at the church after they've betrayed you, you're going to love them, and you're going to pastor them, and you're going to treat them well, and you're going to forgive, and you're going to forget. And they may not ever ask you to forgive, but you're going to do it anyway. Jesus said, hanging on that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We all have high points in our life. We all have good times in our life. But when the worship ends, the trouble begins. My brother pastors, my sister pastors, and I pastor. And I'm preaching this message because God told me to, because it's during the Lenten season and we need to get our hearts right. Not because I know of a Judas in the church. I don't know of any. But I do know that we have people that aren't dedicated yet. We have people that have not submitted on every level yet. And I know until we submit on those levels that we are capable of doing things that we wouldn't dream of doing. Judas went out and hanged himself. Why in the world would Judas go out and hang himself? Well, he didn't think they would kill Jesus. They just thought he would beat him up a little bit, right? You never know when you start down that path of betrayal how far it's going to take you and how far you're going to go. You don't know what the end is going to be, but when you stand up against ministry, and against the Spirit of God moving, because of a selfish desire, that's going to take you down a road you don't want to go, to an end where you don't want to be. Judas not only hanged himself, before he hanged himself, he threw the 30 pieces of silver away and said, I have betrayed innocent blood. It happens. While Mary came to church to be with Jesus and to worship, Martha came to church to be with Jesus to serve. The disciples came to church to be with Jesus to listen and learn. Judas came to church to prosper. What's your motive? Well, preacher, you're talking to the snow crowd. We're not here to worship. That's why we came. But that's what it's all about, folks. As we go through this time of Lent, we need to remember and we need to ask ourselves, Lord, is it me? Is there anything in here in me coming to church and coming to you that is selfish. Not that there's hidden something that upsets you. There's stuff that upsets me from time to time. But we stand with the church. And we stand with unity in the church. And we don't betray one another. I said to the newspaper when they asked me about the church, they said, what do you think about the church? Then they did a write-up, the Church of God did, about our church. And they said, one thing that intrigues me, you said you want the church, Heritage Church of God, to be the church of your fondest memories. What do you mean by that? And I said, I want Heritage Church of God. I said, I remember when my mom and dad would talk and they'd say, remember the Sunday school class we had over at Mount Zion when we all got together and things? That was some of the best church we ever had. I want you to think today when you're in Sunday school, this is the best Sunday school we've ever had. When you go to a Bible study, this is the best Bible study we've ever had. When you go to your friends, these are the best friends we've ever had. When you go to church on Sunday, this is the best church we've ever had. This is the best singing we've ever had. This is the most people we've seen at the altar before. I want today to be the best of everything. I want it to be your fondest memories here. And I want the best of church for our older years, because if it is, it'll be the best of church for these young ones. So keep it on the praise. Keep it on the worship. Believe in one another. And watch out. Over the last 30 years, I have people that have walked out this door that were my friends one day, in a matter of seconds, they come and become an enemy that will not step back in that door. What they don't know is I'd receive them well if they did. They have talked about me. They have said things that weren't true. They have exaggerated the truth to make it evil. And I still trust you. I still take people into confidence. Why? Because that's the way we do it. We cannot control a Judas. The only thing that will control a Judas is submitting unto God. And not everybody's going to do that. So we who are submitted unto God need to make sure that we stand together. And nothing like that is allowed to throw a cold blanket on what we are doing. We need to make sure that when the worship ends, the worship begins, not the trouble. Judas wasn't Herod. He wasn't Pilate. He wasn't Nero. Judas was counted as one of the 12. Where do I stand with you, Lord? Where do I stand with you? And that ought to be the question today. And if we're right with him, if you're right with him, you're going to be right with Michael. And if you're right with him, you're going to be right with Jeannie. And if you're right with him, you're going to be right with Jason. Because when you're right with God, you're right with people. But you can't be right with people if you're not right with God. Because you have that selfish desire within you that you will betray someone and it will be your friend. Because only God can put us above ourselves into him. Shall we stand? Our Heavenly Father, we talked last week about Fat Tuesday and Ash Wednesday and this 50 days of walking down to the cross and to the tomb. Lord, I know today was a heavy Sunday. And Lord, I pray that every one of us take account for ourselves again and we say, Lord, is it I? And if there be anything within us that we repent and we change and we look to you and we trust you, help us to be a church that actually believes. And Lord, that we show our faith by our works. Because, Lord, we want to be alive, not dead. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.